everyone, and welcome to episode 4 of Wavebeam, the official podcast of the Metroid Database. I'm the site director, Capcom, and here is our graphic artist, Infinity Zen.
What's up?
And the site engineer, Jesse D.
Hello.
And today we're going to be discussing a few new updates on the website, primarily the MDB Troid created by Infinity Zen. And we'll also be discussing in great detail Metroid Other M. And then at the end of the podcast, we'll be having a big surprise for our listeners. So keep posted and listening until the end. So I guess to start off, we'll have a discussion here with Infinity Zen here, who has created a pretty interesting mod of the original Metroid, which is named MDB Troid.
Actually, I prefer calling it a hack. A mod would mean you would be using an engine. But anyway, let's start at the beginning.
You're 20x5 of the history of the cosmos.
Yeah. The whole basic idea for MDB Troid started off with the title screen. And I have always thought the title screen to Metroid didn't hold a candle to the Japanese version. And the Japanese version has that cool, 3D looking perspective font. And I knew that there was a way that the NES could handle that. So I knew that there was a way to make the English version look like that. So I was determined to just make the title screen resemble that of the Japanese one with the perspective font. And I went in there and I basically just made a forum topic and people started responding to it. And I was able to get some work done. It was kind of slow going at first, but then I was able to finally accomplish something. I was able to put the Metroid 2 fonts onto the original game, but it was still kind of small, so I wasn't really satisfied with it. And then there was a fellow hacker who goes by Kajardin, and he was able to make an expander that allowed you to expand the page that the sprite tiles are drawn on, so I could fit more tiles. And through that, I was able to completely revamp the entire title screen. After that, I was not satisfied, so I have always thought the graphics to the original Metroid kind of sucked, just to be honest with you. And I had played a couple other hacks. I hadn't really found one that I was too impressed with, so I just thought I'd do it myself. And I went in there and redesigned Samus, and then I still wasn't satisfied after doing that, and went back and redesigned all the enemies. So that was that. It took me about 3 months to do, and I redesigned the Justin Bailey Samus. I redesigned Samus. I updated her run sequence so she doesn't do kind of a vibrating motion, and redid all the bosses, and I even redid the boss room. So it's if you actually go in there and play my hack, it's a little bit more challenging, a little bit more fun, and it'd be a great honor if you guys could give that a shot. I know a lot of people have, and I've gotten a lot of great feedback on it. One of the greatest things I found was to use the Lua script, which was done by someone named Neil Corlett, and he allowed he makes it so there's a mini map in the screen, so you kind of get these zero mission perks for the original game, and it makes the original way more fun to play, makes it more accessible and more fun to play. So please play my hack.
Yeah, and all the character art, and it's all done zero mission style.
Right. I based a lot of the sprites off of Zero Mission sprites.
Yeah, so effectively, it's given us a way to play the original Metroid on an NES or on NES comparable hardware while still having sort of, you know, all the updated perks.
Yeah, and you guys helped me a lot too. I had some, you guys tested it for me, right? If I remember correctly.
That's right.
Yeah, and I got some pretty good feedback, so I'm really proud of the work I did. And it was a lot of fun, and I learned a lot. I learned how NES games basically work. So, yeah, check it out. Check it out if you can. It is a exclusive. Dun-dun-dun.
Yeah, so did you end up removing those bottomless pits in there? The death traps?
Like the ones in Norfair?
Yeah, there were a couple in the original, and some new ones you added.
Yeah, the gameplay is basically the same. All the level design is relatively untouched. The only changes I made were the boss rooms and maybe one or two rooms beyond that. But the level design is basically the same game.
Okay, so that's that's MDB Troid. So pretty cool. You should go check it out if you haven't already. And we've got a spot on the forum too where you can give feedback to it.
Right.
Right.
I know a lot of people have been having some difficulty, like using the Lua script specifically, and just overall making the patch work. And all you have to do is read that README file, and you should, if you follow the instructions I wrote in the README file, you should be able to figure it out relatively easily. I do know FCEUX 2.1.2 works the best with the Lua script, so give that a shot.
Yeah, that's also one of the better emulators out there for the system. But yeah, so you can pick up the hack file in our fan app section, which is just over there on the left bar of the main site. And so you can download that. We do not provide a copy of the Metroid ROM, though, so you'll have to locate that yourself. Give it a shot if you've got all that and are interested in trying it out. So next up here is our discussion of Metroid Other M, which is a really major release in the series. It's the first 3D game that's been created by the series director Yoshio Sakamoto, and it's taking a lot of the ideas from the 2D games and transferring them into 3D and third person. And well, there's a lot of things that the game does that's pretty cool, and a lot of things that fans have been really not very happy with. And so if you've been hanging around forums or anything, you'll have probably heard some of these comments, or just even any of the reviews too. So what we're going to do now is go over Metroid Other M, talk a bit about the good, talk a bit about the bad, and then some other weird. We'll start off first with what each of us found to be good with the game, and I guess we'll start off here with Infinity's End.
Oh, okay. Because, you know, I haven't talked enough already today.
Well, then we can start off with
I don't mind.
Jesse.
I don't mind.
Yeah, man, where's the love? All right, well, the good of Metroid Other M. I have been excited about this for a very, very, very long time. I don't know how to explain it, but I knew this was coming long before the game was ever announced. And I knew that because the Metroid Prime series, I found, was really kind of beginning to stagnate. While the first Metroid Prime, I mean, a quality game, turned out really great, the gameplay through its sequels just kind of started to get old, you know. It really caused me to want to see a return to the third-person gameplay, so Other M kind of brought this back for us, and I really think its implementation of the third-person gameplay was done in flying colors. I think, you know, there were a few fundamental changes which I don't necessarily agree with, but I think that in general, I mean, it's really refreshing to, you know, not only be able to see from the third person, but also as kind of a throwback to Metroid Prime, be able to look at it from the first person, be able to manually aim. I find that this game really had a lot of positive throwbacks and references to all the other games in the series, including Metroid 2 and even Metroid series, Metroid Fusion. Really kind of ties the whole series together, and it reminds us that Nintendo hasn't forgotten everything. I won't go too much into spoilers, but even Metroid 2 is getting love from this. So, in general, I mean, like, I was happy with these things, and while I could certainly nitpick some certain points, you know, I'll save that for the next segment of our discussion. So, what do you think were some good points, Ryan?
Mostly everything.
Mostly everything.
I really enjoy the game. I need to go back and play it some more, you know, go play through the whole game a couple more times. But as far as the game goes, just without considering other Metroid games, it's a pretty damn good game. And it's really hard to judge a game when there's all these prequels before it, and you know there's so much hype and anticipation because it was like what 12 years or something since Super Metroid came out.
We're like 16.
Yeah, 16 years. Yeah, it's basically like you're trying to appease 16 years of hype, which is impossible. You can't appease 16 years of hype. Like, when Fusion came out, everyone complained about it. No one liked it. Oh, she talks too much.
Or, I didn't complain about it. I thought it was really great.
Yeah, but, yeah. You know, there was still some people that complained. And it took a while for people to kind of warm up to it. And then there's always those people that Fusion's their first game. With Other M, though, I think, like, just from a gameplay perspective, it's excellent. It's really excellent. There are a couple things they kind of missed, I think, that things they could have tightened a bit, like the first person control, just switching back and forth. But I actually think that's a limitation of the hardware, not a limitation of the software. So it's kind of a balancing act that they have to do when they're developing. But as far as just pure exploration and jumping around and shooting at stuff, wonderful. Wonderful. Loved it.
Yeah, the platforming was fantastic.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was just like I had predicted. The second they announced the game, I was like, it's going to play exactly like Ninja Gaiden. I know it is. And it did. It played just like it. She runs really fast. She moves really fast. She does the wall kick just like Ryu does, and it delivered. I thought it delivered. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was a great game. What do you think, Devin?
Well, the like you said, all the stuff was excellent. I mean, the controls were spot on. The action, it was a lot of fun to integrate those special attacks in there. They're very easy to use, and they've got quite a visual impact there. There's a lot of tiny things in there that really make this great in terms of the action. Certainly the character animation, which Samus is absolutely amazing. She's one of the best designed characters that I've seen in a game, and it goes down to a lot of the details there. For instance, when she wall jumps, she's got these echoes that appear on the wall, which this reminded me of Alucard from Symphony of the Night. I haven't really seen anything like this in a 3D game before, where I've been as impressed with the character design as I have been for a game like Symphony of the Night. Beyond this, other cool animations too, like when she reloads a missile after firing, that's just makes Samus feel like a badass. The other thing that I think they did really well was simply the mix of the 2D and the 3D. So the game plays essentially like a 2D game, but it has that mix where you can move in essentially eight directions. So instead of just moving forwards and backwards and jumping up and down, you can move sideways. And this works really great, too, when you're going around a curve, because you can just hit run and move forward and she'll follow the curve. And so you don't have to change directions at all.
Right.
Those were some really tiny things that you probably don't notice too much, but I feel they really polish up the controls and the gameplay very well.
Yeah, and they had those dynamic camera angles, you know, like when you're running along in the pyrosphere, it would kind of pan out. You remember that spot?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
It was pretty good at, you know, showing, adding to the emotion, you know.
Yeah, and I love not having to screw around with the camera. I love not having to worry about it, and I love not just always having my other thumb on a just camera analog stick all the time. It, you know, it's dynamic. I can only think of, like, one, maybe two instances where the camera was ever really a problem, you know, where I couldn't see where I wanted to see, but... Yeah, they were really smart with the level layout and getting the camera angles to fit with it while still making it reminiscent of 2D gameplay while still being fully 3D, you know?
Right.
You know, giving you full 360 degrees of motion.
Yeah, this is one of the things that I've been wanting to see in a 2D style game, because in these games you have a really cool background. You often have these great backgrounds that are designed, and I've always want to go out and explore that. So this was particularly true in Dracula X Chronicles on the PSP. So,
Oh, yeah,
there's all these hallways that are heading out in the background, stairways that, you know, it would just be really cool to go out there and climb that and see what's out there. And this is something that you can do in other M.
Yeah, it really kind of obliterates that that limitation that we've always been kind of stuck under with two-dimensional gameplay. And I think there's, you know, quite a bit of innovation with that. I think it's something that we'll start to see a lot of other games start to mimic or start to make a reference to or take notes from.
Yeah, hopefully.
So I would love to see more 3D games that play like a 2D game. Games where you don't have to mess with the camera, games where you have really tight platforming. You know, this felt like playing, you know, an older style two-dimensional game in most cases.
I applaud, you know, their decision for giving it that extra depth instead of making it a game like Shadow Complex, you know, where it's completely fixed and you have no depth control at all. You know, and the only limitation, though, well, I did notice, speaking of Shadow Complex, I did notice the combat was kind of familiar at times to Shadow Complex, whereas you would just, you know, when all those Rios came down, when you fall down and all those Rios come out at you and you have to kind of shoot in the distance, and Shadow Complex did that a lot, where you would shoot those enemies from the distance. But the auto aim at times, I mean, for the most part, it was pretty flawless, I would say. Can we agree on that? I think the auto aiming was pretty well done.
Yeah, I never had to worry about it for the most part. I mean, like there were occasions where she would just fire straight ahead or fire right over the top of an enemy that she really should have automatically aimed at. But, I mean, it was executed really well. I was never frustrated by it, and I was never, you know, killed or I never, like, took damage or anything because of it.
Yeah. And it's challenging. Speaking of getting killed, it was challenging. It was probably the most challenging Metroid game I've ever played.
Yeah.
Yeah, beyond hard mode. Let's not talk about hard mode.
Yeah, I haven't even touched that yet.
Yeah, you probably don't want to.
Yeah, I think that's all Team Ninja there.
Right. Evil.
But,
yeah, and graphically, I think it takes really good advantage of the hardware. It really doesn't hold a candle to the high-definition gaming you see on you know, PS3, 360 these days. But consider the hardware that we're on. Uses it to its fullest. I played the game at 1080p on a 40 46 inch HDTV. Wow, that's hard to say. And like I never felt like it was crippled by lower resolution or anything like that. I was still immersed for the most part. I think it did better with closed environments than the open environments, and I'll touch on that later. But it was visually pleasing. It had a lot of color to it, and I know a lot of people on the forum were complaining about this because they were so used to the brown and the gray of Metroid Prime. But if you look at Super Metroid, if you look at Zero Mission, I think it's a great example. It's very contrasted, it's very colorful, and Other M, I think, really is very reminiscent of this, especially toward the beginning when you're fighting Ryo. All the Ryo, how they're so brightly colored.
Right.
You know, and I know that's just a product of the really limited selection of colors for the NES, but it's the flavor of Metroid. It's got that characteristic, and they did a really good job of retaining it. Yeah. And I think also, you know, all the bright colors, I mean, it made the whole experience a lot more memorable for me.
Well, even the quote unquote dull parts, you know, like the elevator room and just the stuff that was straight spaceship, you know, even that stuff was still not very nicely pretty, and you know, it was nice to look at.
Yeah. A lot of that too, I think, has to do with the way that they design those rooms, because you look in some games like the previous two Castlevanias on the PlayStation 2, and a lot of the rooms in there are just giant squares, just long hallways with nothing in them.
Exactly.
But you look at you look at Other M, and there's stuff hanging up out of the walls. They've got support struts, cables that are just sort of flying out there, debris lying in the middle of the room. It's not just giant squares. Well, I think there's one or two rooms at the end of the game where it felt like that, just these big square arenas. But the rest of the game, no, it actually feels like a real place, which is something that, it's something that Metroid has been known for, especially since Super.
Yeah, exactly. And it's not too hard to look at a screenshot and be able to figure out, without too much effort, where in the game it's supposed to be. It's just, as you say, it's not a whole lot of copy-paste level design. While there are a lot of just straight hallways, there's always something distinctive about them. There's just always something in them that sets them apart from all others, so you never know what to expect. There's always something different around the next corner, you know?
Yeah, I'll tell you, I'll go back to the Pyrosphere. There was a part where I was, when I went back and tried to get 100% items, the part where you have to fight all those Magdalites, you know, that big giant room where there was all that lava, you can just, like, screw attack and space jump through that whole area, and it's really fun. I thought I had the most fun in that area, because you can jump from platform to platform, and that felt like a real Metroid game.
It was finally a 3D Metroid that didn't screw up the screw attack.
Yeah,
that's awesome to use that screw attack. I mean,
it was so wimpy in Prime 2 and 3.
Yeah, and this one, it lets you turn corners with the screw attack, change direction. It's simply amazing. I'm very impressed by that.
Yeah, and there were a lot of like nostalgic throwbacks for items. Probably a little bit too much, but like all the trademark abilities are there. All the things that we've been familiar with from other games make their reprisal, as well as a few new added skills as well. But for the most part, here's the wave beam. I remember that. So it's Metroid through and through, and I think it was really a very positive return to the roots, kind of a return to form for the series. Because I mean, I liked Prime, but like I say, it never really captured that same essence for me, and it ended really at a good point.
Yeah, it probably just maneuverability in that regard for Prime. I think looking at Other M, that ability to just jump and wall jump and just be able to see your character when you're doing it, that's
yeah,
a very visceral experience that I really enjoy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's exactly it. You can see Samus. You can see her flying through there. You can see her doing all these badass moves that in Prime, you see her seeing it, but it's just not the same.
Let's talk about the sense move and the overblast.
What'd you think about those?
I thought those were a lot of fun.
Those are awesome.
Yeah, it took me a long time to get used to those, and the reason it took me so long is because they're deceptively easy. Like, they're a lot easier than I expected them to be. Especially like the sense move where you can at the last second dodge oncoming attacks. I was expecting to have to be like really strategic with the timing and the direction and all this stuff, and
I realized later on
all I have to do is just keep tapping in a direction, and when the time's right, Samus will dodge. And so once I got that down, I really took advantage of it, and I found it to be extremely useful. I just wish it was easier to accomplish from the third person perspective. Or excuse me, first person. Like, that whole approach felt just a little bit clunky, but I was able to pull it off a few times to my benefit.
Yeah, you gotta move the Wii remote quickly away from the screen at the last
second. Yeah, I found just waggling it always kind of helped for me.
There were some times where I was playing, and I would be using the concentration move, and it would be like a split second that the concentration move finished, and then I would push the sense move, and then I would dodge out of the way. And I had a few of those experiences, and it was exhilarating.
Yeah, I had a couple of those too.
Yeah, that whatever that thing's called, the Gigafrog, the big Shigoth looking thing,
elk like things living in the ice zone.
And they would like come charging at you, and then you push that sense move out of the very last second, and it was a lot of fun. I've never really had that much fun in a game before. I mean, for a long time. It's been a while.
Yeah, it's refreshing, and the finishing moves too. Like it took me a little bit of getting used to just for how easy they are to pull off, and they turned out to be extremely handy in a lot of cases, but there are also a lot of cases where I didn't even bother to use them. I just fire a shot and finish it that way. But
right.
Yeah, they are satisfying, and I'm glad that they didn't overuse them. I'm glad that they didn't harp on them as much as it seemed like they would. Like, if you consider the first trailer of the game way back in E3 a couple years ago, Samus would, every other shot, every other scene was Samus doing one of these finishing moves, and it started to seem like, well, that's what the whole game was going to be about, were just all these melee attacks, but they are not overplayed at all. They are not overfeatured, and if you don't even want to use them, you don't have to in most cases.
Yeah. I just love pulling the wings off the key hunters.
Yeah, that shocked
so
me.
So satisfying.
Useful, but damn.
Yeah.
Like, when Samus turned into such a badass.
Yeah, that was pretty graphic, but it was awesome.
Yeah, exactly. So, in all, I find those both those things, the sense move and the finishing moves, to be very welcome addition.
Right.
I think they could definitely be expanded on in future titles as well.
Yeah, no, there are... I actually do have a couple complaints about particularly the sense move. I know it's a really great way to get that instant charge out of your beam, but there were some cases where I kind of got stuck in a corner, and just being able to sense move in places where it doesn't seem possible that Samus can actually get dodge those attacks.
Yeah.
That seemed really weird, but it doesn't happen very often.
Yeah, it's really easy to abuse it in some cases.
Yeah.
Or like, you'll do like five or six sense moves right in a row, and then be able to attack your enemy, and it seems like, it seems just a little unnatural, but, there are only like one or two instances of that when I played through.
Well, you clearly haven't played through hard mode yet, have you?
Oh, yeah.
Haven't touched it.
Use that all the time.
I'm sure it's required.
I guess on that note, I mean, unless there's some other major areas that we've passed over...
Well, I did want to quickly mention the CG, just specifically the production values put into the CG. Probably it is probably the best CG on the Wii. Like I don't think there's another. There's probably no other Wii game out there that has CG that good.
And it's seamless too.
Yeah.
Actually, there's very few games out there, period, that have CG of that caliber.
Right.
Wouldn't you say?
Oh, yeah. Oh, without a doubt. I mean, even the Team Ninja games, their rendered movies are Not as good as other M's are.
Well, they'll probably get better with Ninja Gaiden 3, wouldn't you say?
Probably, yeah. But
like a completely different group from just Team Ninja, though, right? It's like Team Ninja was just focused on developing the game and the gameplay, and then the actual computer CG was done by
D-Rockets.
Yeah,
D-Rockets. So unless Team Ninja's hiring them for future projects.
Well, yeah, of course. They probably are.
I'm sure they will.
Yeah. I would.
Yeah, just like you guys say, I mean, Square is probably the only developer out there that could really rival that level of... production value for their CG.
Capcom and Namco also do pretty damn good job on their CGs.
That is true.
You know, I've heard some complaints, and I think they totally did. They did Samus justice, and they did the character justice, and I was extremely pleased with the way they handled the character. I was very, very pleased. So
yeah, there were some scenes kind of in the middle where they've got some of the the secondary characters, the NPCs in there, where they're not as well rendered. But the cutscenes in there that were done extremely well, like, say, the intro, yeah. And also, I thought, too, you know, the credits, the renderings for the helmets in there, very good. Definitely some of the best that's out there.
Yeah, the credits were interesting. I mean, like, not something I've ever seen in Metroid, but it was eye candy. It was really fascinating to watch.
Yeah, and maybe that's a good place to start transitioning into the bad. So, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's really cool that makes me come back and play. And it, actually, after I wrote my review... and I was playing the game a second time, I was like, you know, I like this game a lot more than when I wrote that review. But now, you know, there's a lot of things that just plain, you know, suck about it. I mean, there's really no way around. I mean, the narrative, I think, is really the key point, and I just have one word to say about that, and that's Ninja Gear Troid.
That's a good way to put it.
What's a mouthful, man.
Yeah, so, I mean, combining the gameplay of the Ninja Gaiden games with this narrative of a Metal Gear game, just doesn't really work that well in retrospect.
Metal Gear. Yeah, and, like, if I describe the story in one word, it would be hokey.
Yeah, I don't think... I think we need a stronger word than hokey, but...
Overdone, I think, might be a good one. But, yeah, it I don't know. There was too much story, and it wasn't like... The story itself didn't really have a great deal of originality to it. I mean, everything was something that we've seen in other games or movies or TV shows, etc. And I never found myself, like... on the edge of my chair waiting for the next big plot twist there's a certain key scene when a certain character meets his end, and I know that's supposed to be emotional and everything, but like I didn't feel anything, like it wasn't like touching me or reaching out to me. I didn't connect with that, you know. And really? I guess part of it is because, like, well you know, I bought this to play Metroid, not to as you described, not watch a Metal Gear film. So I think the story didn't really fit that well. I think it was good to kind of flesh out Samus' character a little bit more, but I think we've got enough for one game, and I think if they do any sequels, they should not have so much focus on it. And the same goes for, like, all the introspection and just all the random times that Samus decides to reflect on something. They're just a lot of things that really didn't feel original, didn't feel like they fit, didn't really... add to the experience for me.
Yeah, and the thing too about that, I mean, about the characterization of Samus, well, certainly she's very wordy, and there are a lot of places in the script where there's just way too much being said that could have been said less. And again, when talking about using too much narrative, Super Metroid has a lot of narrative in that, but most of that is done through environmental storytelling, and I think this element was something that could have been more fully expressed And I think it's a trend that we've been seeing with Metroid Fusion and Metroid Zero Mission. And I know Yoshio Sakamoto has said in a couple interviews that the way that they designed Other M was purposefully different from Super in terms of storytelling. But I definitely think there's a lot more that can be done with that environmental storytelling.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's a lost art.
Yeah. When you just have movement of sprites, you know, and you don't have any dialogue at all, or no text boxes coming up, no talking heads coming up, and you just have sprite movement, it's powerful. It's really powerful. And the reason for that is because you're watching what you think.
You're basically putting your emotions into that scene, and the game is not necessarily dictating to you how you should feel within here.
Right, right. You do it on your own. You figure it out on your own. And you know, that's way more powerful than someone telling you what you're supposed to
do. The difference is that, it's not being spoon-fed to you. You're not sitting back. You're actually involved with it. You're actually, formulating these thoughts yourself, and you're actually,
That's art. That's art right there.
Exactly, and it's a lost art form. I mean, you do not see that anymore. It's all got to be dialogue, and it's all got to be crammed down our throats for us. Or else it's lost on us,
Yeah, and there's not necessarily anything bad with dialogue. It's just that the way that the dialogue was done in here, it was mostly telling rather than showing. Particularly with the monologues, I don't need Samus to tell me that the expression on this character's face is communicating, such and such an emotion. I can tell that just by looking at the character's face, and it's again just way too wordy.
In three-dimensional Zelda games, I've connected with Link just fine, and he's never spoken a word. Their ability to give him facial expressions, and this is living proof that it can be done in 3D. A lot of what emotions Link is probably feeling are felt by the player without really being told, so to speak. And Zelda's always gotten by fine without ridiculous segments of dialogue and drama and all that stuff we see in Hollywood nowadays.
Devin, the word you so chose to use, wordy, it pierced my heart, man. It pierced my heart.
Yeah.
which segues us into the next problem, which is the really cheesy dialogue in some places.
Well, it's not as bad as the original Resident Evil, but it's still not very good.
Dude,
it fell short.
No, I will not let you use that. Resident Evil's dialogue is so bad, it's good. It's so bad, it's good. You can't touch it, man.
Can't or won't.
Either.
I'm going to go with won't.
Right, but so the word choice, we agree, is pretty silly. The voice acting, I actually liked it. A lot of people... especially for Adam and a lot of the other characters, it fit in. It never felt out of place.
Right, right.
Samus's voice, people really complained about because she sounded too much like a robot. She sounded forced or she sounded emotionless. And I always figured that was her character. I mean, for everything she's gone through in her life, she's not a socialite. She's not she doesn't connect to people on that level of really. Personal dialogue, so of course she sounds emotionless and like a robot.
Yeah, and that's also kind of related as well to the giant crate that's in the room that we've been kind of ignoring, which is the reactions a lot of people have been having to the character and how the way Samus is characterized is very inconsistent with their vision for how she should have been. Their vision for who Samus is.
Yeah.
And this is... it's very interesting, too, because there were a lot of interviews with Yoshio Sakamoto, particularly one with... was that Edgegamer? Some UK news site where they specifically talked for about 20 minutes about the way that Samus has been characterized and the long history of her as a character and sort of what are the elements that defined her initially and has kept her as a strong character over all these years. And to sort of juxtapose that with this very negative backlash that quite a few fans have had towards her, it's very interesting to see that.
Yeah, and And that's exactly it. They've injected a face, a personality that we've always had to leave to the imagination before. Like, the mystery has officially been taken away. So a lot of people always like that about Metroid and about Samus, and now that this has been kind of taken away, it's just not the same. I think it's definitely necessary, too, because this has been the same story arc that's been going since, 1986. And this is not like Zelda, where you don't have to keep giving Link. You don't have to keep fleshing out Link's character because it's always a different Link. In the case of Metroid, it's the same Samus. It's the same story. Eventually, if you're going to flesh out the story, you're going to have to flesh out the character, and that's why this resulted. And while some people resent it, I understand why they opted to do that. I just hope they don't take it too much further if they do any sequels to this.
Well, let me say something, and then I'll turn it back to you guys. I basically look at it this way. When you have these 10 other games where she doesn't have a voice, she doesn't talk that much, we don't really know about her except maybe some fan translated manga you found on a fan site somewhere. I wouldn't know what site that would be, but anyway.
Metroid database?
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. And you have all this stuff that isn't really much just when you're talking about Samus. I mean, what was the first interaction, the very first interaction of the player with Samus? It was Super Metroid. And it was the intro sequence.
Opening, yeah.
It was the first time she ever talked, quote unquote talked. And that was nothing. You can't build character off of that. That was a little prologue, that was probably poorly translated for all we know. But you can't, it's basically the backwards way of doing things. You know what I mean? It's the backwards way. You're not supposed to have all this content and then make a story around it. You make the story first and then come up with the content that way. And it's just, since they're doing that way, they're stuck. They have nowhere else to go. So this is the only way they can do it. And from there, they may have mishandled it. They may have not. Doesn't really bother me as much. Me personally. Not really as much as some other complainers I've seen out there, but it didn't really bother me that much. I know it's just a video game. We're not talking about Oscar award winning performances here, but I do acknowledge the complaints. I understand where people are coming from. I acknowledge the complaints, but with me, I'm kind of, lackadaisical about it.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, there are better things to worry about, and it didn't destroy the game, so, it's, let it be. It is what it is,
Well, it's interesting that you say that, though, because for some fans, it clearly did destroy the game, and it's the inability for some of the fans to get beyond the presentation of the character, which really destroys the game, and it's interesting because you look at other games that are pretty popular. Like I just finished playing through Gears of War 2, and the characters in there, and I mean we can also go to Resident Evil as well. I mean the characters are very poorly presented in those games, and I just don't find myself emotionally attached to these characters at all. I find them annoying in Gears of War 2.
No one complained.
The thing, though, is it didn't stop me from playing it. Now, I think the difference here is that Samus is a very... she's been around for almost 25 years now, and she has a long history. The games are very well done. She's very consistent in terms of character throughout all of these. And when she's introduced in Other M, it changes these expectations, this consistency that we've seen to a certain degree within all of the previous games. And I think that's really where this connection breaks down, and it ends up being kind of a betrayal to these fans in some ways, where they've had this expectation, and it's not only has it not been met, but it's been completely opposite of what they've thought.
Yeah, a lot of it, I think, is really subjective, especially because we've got a whole new generation of gamer. You know, like, we grew up on the classic trilogy, so we're pretty dead set in our perspective, but there are a lot of people that have come into this playing Fusion and Zero Mission. There are a lot of people who believe that Hunters is the definitive Metroid game, you know? So different people are coming at this now from a lot of different angles, a lot of different legitimate angles. So, you know, for those people who dislike the changes that were brought about in Other M, you know, that's really, I mean, if it's ruined Metroid for them, then, you know, cry me a freaking river, it's just a video game. Yeah, I'm with you, I can understand where they're coming from.
I think
yeah,
it's spilled milk. It's spilled milk to me, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, so, I don't know, like, we could just go on about the story forever, but, I mean, the point is, I mean, it could have been done better, but we agree that, I mean, it was necessary. It was time for them to kind of start exploring, you know, that route.
Sure.
It doesn't mean they're going to keep doing it forever, but I think it was worth a shot.
Well,
so
Devin and I were discussing that really well-made post by Footbag on the forum. Do you want to talk about that real quick?
Yeah. So this was one of our posters recently created a very interesting topic, a statement. Footbag. What he said is it basically says that Samus doesn't really do anything within the game. And so, you know, Samus doesn't defeat Ridley. She doesn't destroy the Metroids in Sector Zero. And she doesn't defeat the Deleter. She doesn't fight Mother Brain. And it's like, okay, so what does she actually do in this game? Well, not much. And it's very interesting because the game sets up all of these points where you feel like there's going to be something really cool that you're going to go out and do, and then you never accomplish that.
Yeah.
And so
you kind of feel a little, I don't know, I guess you kind of feel a little cheated, I guess.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. And you know what destroyed it for me? Or something that I, like, and I know everybody's complaining about is the whole authorization system. You know, having to be told when to use your abilities rather than... So essentially, I mean, Samus has everything from the very start. She just can't use it.
That didn't bother me.
It bothered me, and I think a lot of people will agree, in Sector 3, when you're stuck running through this freaking oven burning to a crisp, if you stay there too long, you're going to die. And then the guy authorizes the Varia suit. You know, like, that doesn't make any sense. I don't even understand why the Varia suit wouldn't have been authorized from the very beginning, because, I mean, it has absolutely no adverse effects on Samus or on her surroundings, on any of the other people, you know? I can understand not authorizing certain weapons, because, yeah, those do have adverse effects, but, you know, the flipping gravity suit and Varia suit, there's absolutely no reason why you shouldn't have those from the very start. I mean, I understand for the sake of the gameplay, you shouldn't have those until later, but, I mean, it's stupid that, like, their justification for it and the way that they give it to you was just, it wasn't thought through very well.
But it didn't ruin the game.
No, it didn't ruin the game. It irked me a lot. That's something, that would be my biggest complaint about the whole experience, I think.
Really?
Was that.
Really?
Yeah.
The whole game. You think that point.
The authorization?
Yeah.
Yeah, because it just didn't make sense.
Well, what else would you have rather had, man? I keep always saying this. What would you have rather had?
They could have done it this way. I mean, authorizing could have made more sense. It's just, they could write, there are 1,000 different ways they could have written it in.
Okay.
But instead saying that, I don't know, like, what it comes down to is they could have done a lot of creative ways to deny Samus authorization, but the way that they chose to do it, I think, was really half-assed. And I know everyone's going to cite the Varia suit, but there are a few other instances where it just didn't make sense to me at all. And, Metroid for me was always about going in and finding the abilities and then being able to use them, not just having some guy at a control board, flip a switch or give you the okay to flip the switch to start doing it.
Yeah, but the alternatives is what I'm saying. The alternatives are kind of lame. So what do you have? You have, magically, you have Chozo statues on the station? That makes no sense. You have just happens to be compatible technology with Samus's suit? Okay, well, they actually did that. They did that with the diffusion beam. Right? And maybe some of the other beams.
And the multi-missiles.
The multi-missiles, yeah. They just had technology that was compatible with her suit. Right? And that was just... It fell to the ground when you killed some enemies. But they can't do that with all of the items, right? That wouldn't really make much sense.
All right, but I mean, like, I've always grown up on the have them scattered across the planet formula. Which, I mean, like... And here's the thing. I mean, I know why they didn't have just... add-ons scattered throughout the space station because, especially things specific for Samus' suit, because how would they get there to begin with? But, I mean, the whole space station thing, I mean, we've seen, like, they already did this. This is, like, kind of like Metroid Fusion in 3D, and Metroid Fusion had a really creative explanation for how Samus was getting her abilities back. You know, it's from a sentient virus that absorbed them from her older suit, you know? Right. Like, that's creative, right? I mean, that has more thought into it than just, you know, some guy to a panel giving you authorization.
Yeah, but you gotta pay your actors, man. You gotta pay your actors.
For sure.
You know, at the risk of sort of milking this Varisuit problem too much, maybe two things here. One, I think there's this idea that Samus doesn't use an ability unless she knows she absolutely has to, at least in this game. So she doesn't activate the gravity suit until... she's about to get sucked into space, okay? So it's like, now is probably a good time to activate this. The other is, it sort of goes back to that idea of narrative and gameplay and how gameplay tropes often clash with story. I mean, there's no way you can logically explain, say, power orbs and energy and missiles being dropped by enemies when they're killed.
Oh, yes, there is. Like,
yeah, but then you're really sort of taking things to the limit.
Right.
Not really.
I don't know. Rhyme did it.
There's not really anything that can describe that very well.
Right, yeah, and I know there are a lot of artifacts of... older two-dimensional 8-bit, 16-bit games that don't translate into more realistic environments very well, but it can still be done. You touched on one of them, the energy drops and the missile drops. Like, that's something that I missed in Other M, and I got by fine being able to recharge my missiles. And I think it really did add to the challenge, not having health drops from all of your enemies.
Right.
But I always wondered, like, why it's just suddenly not there anymore.
It's just different, you know. There's nothing really wrong.
And I know
with it.
I know it's
there's,
you know,
there's energy
a product
stations.
Of...
There's save stations like around every damn corner in the game.
Yeah.
So it's not you really need those power ups. Of course, except in hard mode.
Yeah.
Yeah,
exactly.
Like
so, I don't think that was really a negative thing per se, but something I do definitely wonder about.
The one that did it for me the most was actually where they take away from you the option to fight the Metroids in Sector Zero, because they've set up this event that's, you know, supposed to be really cool. It's like, ooh, I'm going to go out and I'm going to fight Metroids and then I'm going to fight Mother Brain and then the station's going to explode and I got to escape and boy, that's going to be really cool. And so it sets up this challenge that you want to accept, but then it ends up taking it away. And
maybe that's a theme, though. Maybe that's a theme. That happened so many times in the game. So many times. There was the part where... you were like, you were about to go somewhere and go to the next room, and then Adam comes on your comm and he's like, hey, turn around, you gotta do this now, you know?
Yeah.
It was like a theme almost, because you had to do that so many times. There were, you go and you fight Ridley, you know, and oh shit, now I gotta go kill Ridley. That's my job. But then, oh, then you go find Ridley, and he's already dead!
Yeah, exactly. I was so excited at the prospect of a 3D Turian. I thought, like, oh, that would be so cool to see. And totally. I know they did kind of do a few little fan services, like the Rinkas. I thought that was neat.
Oh, yeah, that was badass.
I thought they pulled that off really well.
Oh, I loved it.
They suck in hard mode, though. They kill you in one hit.
Oh.
Yikes. Exactly. It's it just like a lot of things I was really hoping for. And, like, you know, Prime 3 actually did this to a certain extent as well. If you remember during that, when they had that preview channel on the Wii, and they were kind of touching on, you know, the origins of the Mother Brain and the Aurora units and all that. And they showed just for a brief moment basically a recreation of Mother Brain's chamber in Super Metroid. And I was like, oh, that means we get to fight one of these things and, you know, like blast open Zebatites and, blast open the glass jar and do it all in 3D and not quite.
All for naught. All for naught.
I mean, that's what I think that would be so cool in 3D. And I mean, we may yet get to do that someday, but I don't know. I guess that's just the fanboy in me.
Right. Well, you know, and then there's also the other side of it. There's you know, let's kind of move on type deal. I mean, how many times are we going to do that?
I wish they would do that about Ridley. How many times have we fought him now?
Right. How many times are we going to fight Ridley? Everyone wants Kraid to come back for some reason. I don't know why, but everyone wants Kraid to come back.
And Krokemeyer.
And Krokemeyer, right.
Yeah, and also, like, what is up with Samus, like, freezing in her little space boots at the sight of Ridley? She never did before the other 14 times she fought him.
Really want to open up that can of worms?
Well, I figure it's worth touching on.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, why didn't she free? Why wasn't she panicking all the other times that she ran into him? I mean, I know she's having, like, flashbacks from childhood, but this was never an issue before.
Because they could never display it before. They could never depict it before. Could they?
Did they ever want to before, though?
I guess we can't say, can we?
Yeah, that's the big thing. The official, the explanation that we've sort of come to and decided on is that, well, it was communicated within the manga, and so which nobody has read because it was never released in the U.S. And so it discusses how Ridley led the space pirate attack that killed Samus's family and everybody else on the colony K2L, but that's never been communicated in the games, and right. It was not in a cutscene where that comes back. And anything beyond that, it's kind of like, well, okay, you know, how big of a shock is this that Ridley has come back from the dead? I mean, he's come back from the dead about 20 times already.
Yeah, I think this finally kind of confirms our theory that, Ridley is actually a species, not just one recurring opponent. So, or at least that's what it seems like, unless he reverted to the Choogle, the larval form, at the end of Super. I just find that really doubtful, considering all the other times he's been killed and reappeared, etc. So, I don't know. I guess that'll remain a mystery.
Yeah, it kind of made sense in Metroid Prime when they rebuilt him.
Right.
But in...
What about Metroid Prime 3?
Yeah.
There he is again. Not rebuilt.
And then he gets turned into Phazon juice. And
yeah, Omega. Exactly.
You know, and then he explodes. But, nope, there he is again.
Tell you guys what, though. How awesome would an army of Ridleys be?
I would not want to fight that.
So
one of them's hard enough.
Maybe that's for Metroid 5, you know?
Exactly.
That's when he just... say screw it and nuke the planet.
There you go.
Well, on that note, how about we take a break?
Let's do it.
Sound good? All right. Good. Break time. This concludes part one of Wave Beam, episode 4. Stay tuned for part 2 to be released on the site later this week.